Good morning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday in December and also the first Sunday of Advent as we begin our countdown to Christmas and the celebration of Christ's birth. It's good to have you here today. If you are visiting today, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you place the card in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and just pointing out there are a couple boards that are meeting this week and just calling your attention to that. But especially want to point out that next Sunday, I believe it's the 74th annual Festival of Carols will be held at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary. There'll be a combined choir from several different churches and community organizations that voices will be coming together for that. In addition, we'll be having special music provided by Global Ark Baptist Church and the First Nepali Baptist Church. They'll be bringing special music in their own language as part of that service on program next Sunday at 5. And everyone is invited. We encourage you to invite neighbors and family members to come with you as well. If you would like to sing with the choir that day, there is a rehearsal at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the choir loft, and you are by all means invited to participate in that as well. In addition, we are continuing to receive your donations to the White Cross Request, which is a mission project of the American Baptist Women's Ministries, but they're inviting all the church family to be involved in that. There is a sign-up sheet still in Judson Chapel, and feel free to sign up for some of those items and bring them in the next couple weeks. Also, there is a pink insert in your bulletin. If you would like to give a poinsettia in memory or in honor of a loved one for Christmas, the cost is $6, and there's information there on that pink form. Also, if you came in the parking lot door this morning, you may have noticed a very nice metal rack to the left behind the door going into the hallway. And that was made and has been donated by Naomi Vilcapoma to the church. So Naomi's here today. So we want to thank Naomi very much. And if when you see her afterwards, you may want to express your gratitude to her as well. And we're still looking for the best spot to place that so it does not just become a junk attractive thing, because you know empty space attracts other things. So we want to make sure that it's used properly. But thank you very much, Naomi. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 158 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading from the Old Testament prophets of Malachi and Isaiah as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, and let us read responsively from God's holy word. The Lord God of Israel said, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God.
Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain, hill, and low.
The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain.
The glory of the Lord will be with you, all mankind.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. Our opening hymn this morning is Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, number 157 in the blue hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come into our midst. Come into our hearts. Come into our homes, in our communities, into our schools and workplaces. May we welcome you everywhere, making room for you, preparing for you, anticipating your arrival with joy and reverence. We commit this season of Advent to becoming ready. Shine your light in those nooks and crannies we keep in the shadows. Sweep the cobwebs from our long hidden doubt and fear. Repair our torn and wounded places. For we long for your arrival. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We ask this in your holy name. And now pray as you taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I've selected this year to share scripture each Sunday prior to our lighting of the Advent wreath, the candle in the wreath. And today we hear these words from the prophet Isaiah, very familiar words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today we remember the prophets of old, for those words were from the prophet Isaiah. Those prophets of old demanded to be heard. They dared to speak of a child to come, unexpected liberator of the people, who was vulnerable. It was a vulnerable incarnation of the holiest of holies with a new name for God. And not only do we look back and remember the prophets of old, but we give thanks for the prophets who are among us today as well, who bring to us surprising new visions of hope, who challenge us to think outside the box, who show us future that we never anticipated. On this first Sunday of Advent, we light this candle as a symbol of the prophets who renew our faith and remind us of what may be. And I've asked Bella Lanton to help me today, and it's a special Sunday for Bella. Bella's got a birthday this week, and I had forgotten about that when I asked her. But I want to tell Bella just a little bit about what we're doing. I mentioned that we're going to light a candle today. And this is our Advent wreath. And there are four candles on the outside. There are three purple and one pink. And the white candle in the middle. The white candle in the middle represents Jesus. And we light that on Christmas Eve when we celebrate his birth. But each Sunday, getting ready for Christmas, we're going to light one of the outside candles on the wreath. And so today we're going to light one of the purple candles, and we're going to light one candle. So how many more candles do we have to light before Christmas? If there are four altogether, we're going to light one. There's three more Sundays before Christmas. So it's sort of like counting down till Christmas comes. So the words to light the Advent candle are printed in your bulletin, and let's sing verse one of that song that's printed there as Bella helps me light the Advent wreath today. Let's have a prayer together. Loving and gracious God, as we light one candle today in the darkness, just one little light reminding us that Christ is coming. Lord, we thank you for the promises that we have in the Old Testament, those prophets. We also thank you for the prophets that are among us today that are offering us hope when we feel sadness and despair. Lord, help us to be open to your message in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer this morning. We celebrate with Cindy. Cindy's got her dark glasses on, not trying to be a movie star or anything, but she had her second eye done this week, and I asked her before if she's doing okay. And we're glad that you're able to be here today, Cindy, and just continue to pray that your recuperation and recovery will continue very well. We want to keep your mother-in-law, you know, Chuck's mom, Dorothy, in prayer as well as she continues to be in hospice. And I know at Bible study you asked for prayers for her and her caregivers. So we want to keep Dorothy Huddy and those who are caring for her in prayer today as well. We also want to keep Beverly Sandberg in prayer. I don't have an update, but she had fallen about 2 weeks ago and was hospitalized. And they were looking for a nursing home as permanent placement for Beverly. And I haven't gotten back to her daughter yet to find out if that's taken place. We want to keep Bev Sandberg in prayer as she's going through a time of transition in her living situation. And also those other folks who are not able to be here on a regular basis due to health concerns. We want to keep them in our prayers as well. If you have any requests for prayer you'd like to share with the church family as we go to prayer this morning, Betty. Okay, so Betty and Jim's daughter Elizabeth had a birthday yesterday, so that's a celebration. Okay, great. Anyone else have a celebration or a concern? Richard.
I need to pray for Marilyn.
Yes, I
it's
talked with Marilyn.
I
know. Marilyn fell here in the church Friday while she was practicing, while she was practicing, and injured her right hand, which if people know music, that's the melody. So it's bandaged, but it is amazing. it is amazing. And so Marilyn, we just hope you last through the service. And until you hear the choir rehearsing all the hymns during rehearsal on Sunday mornings, you don't realize how much music is involved in one of our worship services. So if there are a few notes, don't blame Marilyn, just blame it on her injury. So, but just try and rest it as much as you can, Marilyn. We do want to pray for Marilyn that she is able to play today, but also she recuperates very rapidly as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something that's, Dindam. Okay, somebody that Dindam went to high school with passed away this week. The brother of someone who went to school with you passed away this week. So a very young man. So we want to keep that family in prayer today as well. So let's go to God, lifting up someone that's been mentioned or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we come to you this day with hope and anticipation. On this first Sunday of Advent, we have begun the countdown to Christmas, to celebrating Christ's birth. Lord, we pray that this Advent season may be a time for us to focus on the true meaning of this season, of Jesus Christ. Today especially, we focus on his promise to return. We think about, we've already sung and prayed to come, Lord Jesus. And we know that Christ has come in the past, and that Christ comes today and is with us. And we know sometime in the future that he will return to earth as well. And Lord, in that triad of coming to us. We pray that we may be faithful followers and obedient to all of his teachings for us. Lord, as we come this day, we lift up those who are ill and injured and pray for healing according to your will for them. We pray especially for Marilyn today as she's playing the organ for us with an injured hand, and just pray that she will be able to make it through the service all right, and that the injury is not serious, that it will not prohibit her from all the musical places and things that she wants to be doing during this season. Lord, we also pray for those in this holiday season that are mourning the loss of a loved one. As Dindam has mentioned, he knows of a family who has lost a loved one just recently. And Lord, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we seem to be so busy with the holiday spirit. And yet we know that many people are hurting this time of year, perhaps because they are experiencing a recent death, or they have an anniversary, or they're just sensing the loss and the missing of someone who they've been accustomed to having during the holidays. And we pray for all of those who are feeling that loss today. And we pray that you will come in special ways to them. You will touch their hearts, that they may sense your presence, especially close in those times of loneliness. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our world. And every day we hear of more places where there is bloodshed, O God, and we pray for peace in our world. And Lord, we also hear almost every day of new people being accused of inappropriate behavior in the workplace. We pray, O God, for our workplaces, that they may be places of safety and security for all workers, no matter what their gender is, no matter what their lifestyle is, that it may be a place that work may be accomplished in a safe and secure way. Well, Lord, we just pray that our world seems to be going in all different ways. And we pray, O God, that we may be focused on you and what you would have us to be doing, that we may be examples of Christ's light in the darkness of our world, that we may be messengers of his love for those who need to hear that message, especially in this Advent season. God, we just pray that having been together today, that we will have been strengthened, and that as we go from our separate ways, that we will be carrying a little bit of what we have experienced here in worship with us that will give us courage for the days ahead. We offer all of these things now to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This being the first Sunday of the month, we do celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as part of that celebration, during the worship service, we receive two different offerings. And this first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering. It goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. At this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we present these tithes and these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. This morning's scripture comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. I'll be reading the entire chapter 13, and I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is the beginning of the birth pangs. As for you yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given you at that time, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. But when you see the disconsolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the housetop must not go down or enter the house to take anything away. The one in the field must not turn back to get a coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not be in winter, for in those days there will be suffering such as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now. No, and never will be. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he has cut short those days. And if anyone says to you at that time, look, here is the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will appear and produce signs and omens to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be alert. I have already told you everything. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cock crow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word for this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these words of Jesus in Mark's gospel, words that can be frightening at times, but also words of encouragement. Lord, how much we want to know the day and the hour and the time. But Jesus says even he does not know that. It's up to you. Lord, in this season of Advent, we are getting ready for Christ's coming. While most of us do not believe it is his ultimate coming, we are celebrating his coming once again to this earth. Lord, in these moments together today, we pray that our hearts and our minds may be open to receive a word from you that may help us in our daily living and to be more faithful in our discipleship. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if any of you have seen one of these or if you have one of these. I got it this week as a prop for my sermon today, but I'd seen them, but I didn't know much about them. It's called a fidget spinner, if you didn't know, and it's one of the hottest toys in 2017. It's also called a stress reliever. I don't get it, personally. I don't get this, it relieves stress, but anyways, that's what it's supposed to be doing. This little device is, it rotates, and I guess it's supposed to take your mind off your worries as you're spinning this and watching it twirl, and it's like, okay, that's not a mutt, but they're relatively inexpensive, so there are a lot of kids, they're popular with kids, and they come in multiple colors and sometimes multicolors, and so many children that have them have multiple copies of these. And these toys have generated controversy, though, that some schools have banned them as a distraction. And I can understand that as a teacher trying to teach and you have all your students there, playing with their toys. Even when teaching Sunday school, it was like, put your toys in your pocket until later. And they can imagine what that is, a daytime school. But over time, this fad, which it is, will fade if it has not already faded some this year. And the fidget spinner will gather dust along with hula hoops and troll dolls, Cabbage Patch Kids, Tickle Me Elmos, Beanie Babies, and Jelly Bracelets, to name just a few. And it's not that fads are limited to children. Adults are equally susceptible to fads. And in fact, I know adults that have one of these fidget spinners, but also for a six-month period back in the mid-1970s, 1.5 million pet rocks were sold. These smooth stones were marketed in cardboard boxes with a nest of straw and breathing holes. Now remember, this is a rock, but it was being touted as being alive. And sane, what we might label normal people, teachers and lawyers and stockbrokers and engineers and all different kinds of professions, went to work and they had their pet rock sitting on their desk. Still more recently, within the last 20 years, the following fads have come and most have gone, such as Razor scooters, Livestrong wristbands, WWJD bracelets, Heelys, speed dating, cupcake stores, Angry Birds, Words with Friends, Cronuts, Duck Dynasty, 50 Shades of Grey, planking, boy bands, Furby, Pogs, and the Macarena. Now, some of those are still practiced, some are popular with some, but all of these things have been described as fads. So we might ask, well, what is a fad? And the dictionary definitions include this: an intense but short-lived fashion or craze, or a temporary fashion, a notion or manner of conduct, especially one followed enthusiastically by a group of people. So we think about in society, and you probably can think of other fads that have come and gone over your lifetime. But we have to think now, have there been fads about the Bible as well? And yes, there have been, especially in the theme of Christ's return. There have been a lot of predictions that have not come true. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, "The stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. That's what Jesus gives us as the indication of his return. And then the Bible instructs us to keep our eyes open, for when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. The apocalyptic elements of Scripture, those parts of Scripture that talk about end times, especially in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, and also some of the words of Jesus, have been seized by some theologians and preachers in an almost faddish fashion. There are several examples in history, and just over the last 150 years, the Millerites in the early 1840s, who took to the mountains by the thousands to await the return of Christ. A little more recently, some of us may remember the frenzy in the early 1970s that attended the publication of the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. You may recall the Branch Davidians of 1993, or the Left Behind books and movies that were produced between 1995 and 2007. This list only scratches the surface of apocalyptic or end-time fever that has raged through society over the years. More recently, in 2011, the end times and the return of Christ caught the attention of the world again. A radio preacher named Harold Camping studied the Bible and came to the conclusion that the world would end on May 21st, 2011. After sharing this prediction with his listeners, he used millions of dollars of their donations to put his message on 5,000 billboards across the country. Camping estimated that 7 billion people would die. Well, May 21st came and went with no return of Christ. Camping's followers expressed astonishment and disappointment, and some denounced him as a false prophet, just as Jesus had predicted. He amended the date to October 21st, and the world still did not end. But it really didn't matter. The fad for the fever, that had subsided. Camping should have read Jesus' words in verse 32 of today's scripture. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Clearly, fads do come and they go, whether they involve fidget spinners or biblical prophecies. But the truth is, nothing really endures. Jesus himself said absolutely everything will pass away, including heaven and earth. But he goes on to say in that statement, in the same verse of Scripture, that there is one thing that will never fade and never disappear, and that is the Word of God. He promises, "My words will not pass away." The Word of the Lord is our solid foundation in an ever-changing world. So that every day we need to keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. Our challenge is to move from changeable and temporary fads to unchangeable and everlasting foundation. As we begin the season of Advent, let's build our lives on something more solid than a pet rock or a fidget spinner. In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers words that are foundational for Christian living. Mark, the gospel writer, tells us that Jesus went throughout Galilee proclaiming the message. But then Mark skips over three chapters of teachings that appear in the gospel according to Matthew. So it is in Matthew's gospel that we hear Jesus saying these words: "Do not resist an evildoer. Give your cloak. Go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Such words are difficult to hear and to follow. But the unchangeable and eternal words of Jesus point to a different reality, that God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And in this reality, everyone, good and bad, righteous and unrighteous, is a child of God. God loves all of his children and provides for them, whether they are saints or sinners. Our responsibility as followers of Jesus is not to follow fads that tend to lift some people up and bring others down. Instead, we are to try to love other people as God loves them, seeing the image of God in people who may look very ungodly to us. Give your cloak, says Jesus. Go also the second mile. Show your neighbors that you love them so much that you will literally give them the coat off your back. Demonstrate that you are seeing God so clearly in them that you will walk a great distance with them. Such generosity is not faddish. It's foundational. Give to everyone who begs from you, says Jesus. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In each of these commands, we are being challenged to see other people in a new light, in the light of Jesus' words. As we walk in this way, we begin to see our neighbors as children of God and as people who carry inside them the image of God. None of this is easy. Jesus didn't promise us an easy road, but it is the key to following the words that last forever. What Jesus says is never faddish. Instead, it is foundational for Christian living. Fads, by definition, fade. Indeed, everything is doomed to disappear. Everything except the words of Jesus. When everything else goes out of style, his teachings are worth keeping. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that we may live on your words, that we may not get caught up in the societal fads of the day, that we will not place our trust in those, that we will only put our trust in you. Jesus, you know how tempting the world can be, how easy it is to get distracted and pulled away. But Lord, we pray that during this season of Advent, it may be a time of refocusing our lives, of preparing for your coming once again into our hearts and into our homes, into our communities. Lord, help us to base your words as our foundation for living this day and every day forward. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your words and for your sacrifice. It's in your name that we ask this. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is How Firm a Foundation, number 689, and we'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 6.
Thank you. As previously mentioned, on Communion Sundays, we receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the spirits of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotion in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and his people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to love justice and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of faithful evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed, and for the spreading the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of the table. And as the host, Jesus invites each one of us with these words: do you believe that I came to earth, walked among you, ultimately went to the cross, dying, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, and ascended to heaven, and am preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we're able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for Christ invites all believers to his table. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for inviting us to your table. We know that we have not earned a place here. It is only through your grace and your mercy. In these moments, Lord, we confess to you now those sins that we are aware of, that we have committed, and we pray in silence to you, asking for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do pray now that you would forgive us of our sins, cleanse our hearts, purify us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scriptures we focused on this morning in my message, as we come to the table today, we're thinking of Jesus near the end of his earthly ministry. And Jesus knew that his time on earth was coming to a close, there wasn't much time left. And as he and his disciples got together in the upper room to celebrate the Passover meal, which was a celebration of the deliverance of the Israelites, God's people, from slavery in Egypt that we read about in the Old Testament, and that deliverance, that they were gathered in that upper room. And Jesus, taking elements from that meal, took the bread from the table, gave thanks to God for the bread, and gave new words about this bread for this new meal that he was instituting. Jesus said, "This bread represents my body. And the body and the bread is broken for each of you. Whenever you eat this bread," Jesus said, "remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Broken bread symbolizing broken body, broken that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of him. As the meal continued in the upper room, Jesus took the cup and again gave thanks to God for the cup and began passing it among his disciples, saying, "This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly came to this earth and walked among us and taught us and ultimately went to the cross, dying and paying the price for our sins. Lord, we have no way of repaying you, but out of our gratitude, Lord, we pray that we may be obedient servants of you in all of our days. We pray now that we may have been strengthened by having been together this day. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Christ has come in the past, he is coming today, and he will come again at the end of time. Be alert. Stay on your guard. Despite the headlines of our daily news, the presence of Jesus Christ in the world is evident if we will only look and listen to the signs of his coming. Let us go from this place surrounded by the power, the presence, and the peace of our everlasting Lord as we share the good news that Christ is with us. Amen.